It's Friday. It's 5 to 5. It's not Dollar. I just remembered. It's just the same old as usual. It's Don't Let's Chat with me, Ben Baker.
And me, Louise Nylon.
And welcome to series 2 of Don't Let's Chat. More of the same and slightly less of it. Did you have a nice summer holiday, Louise?
Yeah, I did. It was great, yeah.
Did you go where?
Yes, I did.
Oh, that's good, because I have no money. Send money, please, to Ben Baker behind the water pipes, up back of bins, K2. If it's busy, just knock. I'm sure they'll be finished soon. Oh dear. Some people, I have mentioned back in the bins at KTU a few times on podcasts, and people have gone, is that a real place, Louise?
It certainly is.
It is real.
Is it still called that?
Yeah, it's still called KTU. It did have a few names. I call it, last time it changed its name to Blast, so it became Finger Blast.
Oh, no.
In town. Yeah, I'm sorry. We're starting the series with, as it's meant to go on, just sheer filth. So, speaking of sheer filth, yes. What's his first chat this week?
The Sun reported Michael Jackson had a secret fourth child who's now 19 on this very day in 2004. Of course they did.
A fourth child? Does that mean he has three? Like, actual, there's Blanket, Paris, and Spider-Man. Yeah, that's all three of them.
Right. The story claimed that Norwegian Omar Batty.
I thought you said Norwegian was a kid's name.
I mean, it could be.
Fourth child, Norwegian. Named after his favourite kind of wood.
Sounds about right, though, doesn't it? Anyway, he was born after a one-night stand and had stayed with Jackson at his Neverland home in California.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So with that in mind,
yeah,
we are doing the top 10 Jacko rumours.
Oh, we're on your tin hats, ladies and gentlemen. We're going deep.
At 10, his middle name was Joseph.
What? Wait a minute. That's ridiculous. I've never heard such a thing. Oh, so, yeah, it's fair enough.
Yeah.
Joseph, I think his dad's called Joe. You know, the one who was the really abusive one who ran the Jackson 5.
So I thought, I'll name my own child.
Well, yeah, but also he named him, like, Tito. Yeah.
So, that's abuse, isn't it?
Although, didn't Jermaine name one of his children Your Majesty?
Oh, no. So, just met worse.
I think that's right. I mean, you know what? If it's wrong, I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm happy not knowing. Because there are some things in the Michael Jackson averse, the MJU, that you just don't need to know. Which might be coming up at 9.
At 9, Quincy Jones nicknamed him Smelly. A slang term apparently similar in the US to funky.
Oh, no, he didn't. No, he didn't.
He says it on the paper, it must be true.
It's like when they say, like, oh, yeah, Sting. Yeah, everyone started calling him Sting because he wore a black and yellow jumper. No, they didn't. You went, that's a cool name. I started calling myself Sting. It's better than Gordon. He's like, Stinky. Oh, yeah, he's cool. Yeah, get a bath. Get her back, King of Pop. Not with them. On your own.
Stop it.
Sorry.
The singer once owned a boa constrictor called Muscles.
Course
and a python called Crusher.
I mean, as names go, they're not the most original.
Isn't that the wrong way around, though? The boa constrictor should be Crusher.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It makes no sense.
This is a very good point, actually. 7...
Jackson shares a birthday with Sir Richard Attenborough and actress Rebecca De Mornay.
And you think they've all gone out on the party?
Happy birthday.
Like, right, no, let's have a joint party for all of them. Oh, sorry, Sir David. I wish I'd come round, but I'm still going to Neverland Ranch. No, he's got wee spots.
I think he invited him around to come look at his animals.
Well, yeah. A man who loves, like, nature, like Attenborough, probably despised the amount of caged animals that Michael Jackson had.
Come see my dressed-up monkey.
I mean, as issues go, yeah, it's pretty up there.
That's 6, shall
we? I'm going to ask you whose birthday you'd rather go to.
It was Rebecca De Mornay again.
actress.
At what?
I can't remember what she was in. Have you seen The Hand That Rocked the Cradle?
I could go to hers and find out who she's.
Yeah, that'd be a good run, actually. All right, six.
At six, Jackson regularly wore a black armband to remind people of children suffering around the world.
Thanks. I mean, you could give us some money. I mean, rather than building, you know, a gold conservatory for the rarest macaw in the world, feed some kids.
I think him just walking in the room is a reminder of children suffering around the world, though.
Oh, well, this is true. Five.
He had a pet ram called Mr. Tibbs.
See, you know, Mr. Tibbs is from Sydney Poitier. They call me Mr. Tibbs. What is it? Oh, God, what is the film now? In the Heat of the Night, Sidney Poitier's character is a detective, and he's I suppose he was one of the first black kind of really strong characters who did take no shit, and I suspect that's why he called him that. Maybe that's why he wore a black armband as well, to remind himself
of Mr. Tibbs.
Always to remember to call him Mr. Tibbs. At four.
He won an MTV award for Best Movie Song in 1994. It was for Will You Be There from the movie Free Willy.
Good. Good.
I don't know what you can say about that. Good. Congratulations. No,
I'm glad. I'm really glad. I mean, it should be free.
It should be free. Free that Willy.
I guess Obama Willy. You know, they try to clamp down on it, but... Pretty well, if for all. Three.
Jackson was very fond of Mexican food.
Cool. I mean, yeah, that is.
In everyone?
Yeah, very much. It took me a while, you know. I'm not a massive spice person.
No.
But I like the spice without heat. I was one of the people who was brought up thinking I didn't like curry because every time I tried my dad's, it like my head went into like one of those Tom and Jerry cartoons, it becomes pink and then steam comes out. And then I realised, no, it's just my dad's a knob and he likes really strong curry and other ones are available. And it was like, oh, okay. Yeah. So I wasn't brought up with eating curry. I don't know about you.
Were
you?
No, I wasn't.
Even though this
area. It's taken a while, but I do like it now.
This area is obviously very.
We have some good curry, yeah.
It's a very integrated town. So there's a lot of good restaurants around here. I've got a Persian restaurant now. Two.
According to Friends, Michael Jackson was very ticklish.
Yep. that's the full level of silence that one is.
I mean, that's helpful.
Yep. And the number one tip-top Jacko rumour of all time is...
As we all know, he had sex with several small...
What's this?
This is awkward.
Diversity drive, mate. You know, like, you know, it's wokeness and stuff. It's 2010.
Who taught you that word?
Big boys. In skirts.
Bigger boys, yeah. Well, you know full well this doesn't work if you develop any sort of, you know, self-awareness... Or sensitivity, you know.
Character.
No character. You've got character. You've got bucket loads of character. We need to keep that, and we need to keep all this other stuff away. That's very much my end of this partnership. Okay. That's
bucket loads of characters. Never sounded more like an insult.
Shh.
What can you bring to the job, Mr. Baker? Well, I've got bucket loads of character. Get out.
Shh. You're breaking kayfabe.
we'll just do regular old series two then.
Yeah.
You can't blame me for trying to do something else because growing up, especially during the 90s, programmes are retooling all the time between series one and series two.
Ben, what is retooling? I do not understand what you mean. What? How could you re-atool? What would that be?
Well, foolish boy. Basically, it's when your first series has done okay, but you kind of feel there's potential there for more. So you either get rid of half the cast, or you change the premise, or the lead actors, or something, just to change enough to try and get people watching for series two.
Okay.
With, invariably, failure. Do you have a list there that kind of ties in?
Well, weirdly, despite the fact that 30 seconds ago I didn't know what retooling was, I do.
So these are the top 10 programmes that were retooled between Series 1 and Series 2.
Yep, as determined by us.
At one.
The Avengers.
That's the one.
I mean.
Sexy ladies in cat suits.
No,
oh,
it's
yeah.
Not that one. Not that
no,
one.
No, it's not that one. Okay. So what was it? What was different about Sue's one of the Avengers?
So John Steed was like a secondary character and a sidekick almost, and he wasn't doing the whole three-piece suit and bowler hat thing. He was quite casually dressed. And it was Ian Hendry doing vague spy things, and then it got weirder as it went on, basically.
Yeah. At two,
These Friends of Mine.
So there's Chenundlabong and Joey with VD.
No, it's not that. Okay.
Phoebe, who is the worst character of all our characters.
So, do you know what this one is, Ben?
Yes, I do. But for the purposes of this, no, I don't.
Yes. Okay. It turned into Alan. Ellen. Not Alan.
Alan. It's Sir Alan Potato. Do you remember when Sir Alan Potato came out as a lesbian in Series 4? I've never been interested in penis.
Only MASH. Anyway, yeah, no, so it started out as a much more ensemble piece, and then they ditched the ensemble piece and made it mostly about Alan. Alan.
Yeah.
Oh, why do I keep saying Alan?
You are so unwoke. Oh. But yeah, I remember, I used to watch Alan all the time, and I remember thinking how it's weirdly changed, and then some of the main characters just disappear. So I believe it changed its name to be less like the name of Friends. I think Ellen started first in 94, but obviously by the end of their series, Friends had come and been like the juggernaut that it is.
Right.
It remains for some reason. What is at number three?
Buck Rogers.
Buck Rogers in the 25th century, is it?
Yes. Not Duck Dodgers in the 24th and a half century, like you thought.
I'm very amused.
In the year 1987, NASA launched the last of America's deep space probes. Aboard this compact starship, a lone astronaut, Captain William Buck Rogers, was to experience cosmic forces beyond all comprehension. In a freak mishap, his life support systems were frozen by temperatures beyond imagination. Ranger 3 was blown out of its planned trajectory into an orbit 1,000 times more vast, an orbit which was to return Buck Rogers to Earth 500 years later.
So there was an actor's strike that delayed everything several months, and then when they came back, they'd got new producers, and instead of defending the Earth, they were going around in a ship searching for things, in a ship called the Searcher.
That's a good name for a searching ship.
Yeah. They binned off most of like the regular secondary characters and just replaced them wholesale.
Did the tone change? Because I recall it being quite sort of daft.
It was slightly less daft in the second series, I would say. It was slightly more serious. I don't know why, really, because it was like 1980, so it didn't need to really tone stuff down at that point. But yeah, it was a bit...
It was a bit less, full stop.
They introduced a robot called Crichton, but not spelt like you think it is. It was spelt C-R-I-C-H-T-O-N. And then after series two, it got cancelled, so...
Very admirable. That's acid. I never knew that.
Yeah.
I'm not really an expert on it, but, you know.
I wouldn't call myself an expert, but when BBC Two used to, like, have that 6 o'clock slot where they would show a ton of old sci-fi stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I was thinking, like, you know, Rob Grant and Doug Naylor might have been sat up watching it over
Could
tea.
Be.
You know, like, they've come up, they're going, oh, everyone's forgotten that now, and then they start repeating it again. Like, oh, curse you, Normski, and you're deaf too. At four,
The Roseanne revival, I'm going to call it.
When Roseanne started, it was a genuine revelation, I think, in American TV, as much as it portrayed an American family who were poor, who were on the breadline, and had lots of, you know, kids taking drugs and, you know, all sorts of, you know, and it wasn't morally coming down on these things either. And then, obviously, there was the kind of Roseanne's ego.
It stopped being called Roseanne and started being called the Connors because she said some things. She definitely said some things.
She blamed...
She blamed drugs for racism because that's how drugs work.
She did, on Twitter, yeah. And but that the weird thing was, they must have been in a weird place because that revival of Roseanne did huge business. That was massive hit. I think it ended the series as, like, you know, third of the year, something like that. It was a big deal. But obviously when it's like, yeah, and also the lead person that you cannot get Eddie around is a massive foaming racist.
Yeah.
Does anyone remember foaming racists? Oh, in the 80s. Oh, delicious. Bring them back.
But, you know, they did manage to get around it by removing her entirely and just focused it on Darlene instead.
At five.
Battlestar Galactica. Not that one.
I've seen neither, so...
Yeah.
And I'm not seeing the one that they've literally just announced that's coming out as well.
Yeah, I'm not... I don't know that we need that quite yet. You know, there's other things they could adapt. But anyway, so the original one is... Again, it's another of those 6 o'clock on BBC Two ones. It's silly, light-hearted, despite the sort of quite grim premise. You know, it's got Dirk Benedict in it. You know, you can't go wrong, really, with Dirk Benedict. So, again, in 1980, I don't know what was going on in 1980, they completely, like, ditched almost every character and put it on Earth. And I think they put Dick Van Dyke's son in it, if I remember rightly.
Barry.
That's the one.
Off of the murder that I will diagnose this...
That's the one. Yeah, no, Barry Van Dyke's in it. I thought I was just checking to make sure that I'm not giving out incorrect Van Dyke information. So yeah, instead of it being like we're in space and flying around in space and we're shooting things in space, they went, what's cheaper than space? Earth in the present day. Cool. Let's do that then and just put space people on Earth. And it's convenient because they happen to look like human beings as well.
It's just weird that they changed the name from Battlestar Galactica to go to Galactica 80.
Yeah, that is a bit...
That is the most backwards baseball cap.
Yeah.
What are my fellow kids kind of move ever.
We're not even going to call it Galactica 2000. We're going to call it Galactica 80.
Extreme. At six.
Right, I know you're a fan of this one, Ben. It's Baywatch Nights.
I've never seen Baywatch Nights. No. It was for ages. Until it was forgotten, a punchline of just like...
Put Nights on the end of something.
Why is this a thing? Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a joke in Community, isn't there, obviously? Troy and Abbott in the morning. Nice. Yes.
Which, you know, at that point was a joke that was already a decade out of date.
So what changed? Did they just paint David Hasselhoff a different type of teak?
Right. So the first series is that two of the people from Baywatch go and form a detective agency. One of them is David Hasselhoff. And there you go, we've got a detective agency, we're going to solve some crimes. And then the second season, because the ratings were, you know, not what they wanted to do, it turned into a sort of X-Files-y, science fiction-y, paranormal-y format.
Like everything did in 1995/6.
Well, this was 96, so yeah.
Was Hasselhoff still in it?
Yeah, yeah. The other guy left.
Next time on Nights, there's a new criminal in town, and nothing can kill him.
How does a guy with four bullets walk out of here without losing a drop of blood?
Because he's already dead.
Oh, and you don't believe in mummies?
So don't get too close. Next time on Nights, Baywatch Nights.
Well, I mean, coming up Baywatch, yeah. Which was, you know, Dad searching for that Werther's original a bit too long in his side pocket, Saturday night television.
I'm really torn on this one because on the one hand, kind of want to see it, and on the other hand, I know it'll be awful and I don't want to spoil the idea of a Baywatch / X-Files thing.
I'm assuming there was no series 3.
No, there was not. It made it to 44 episodes,
which makes it three times better than Fawlty Towers.
It is available on DVD, but only Region 4 DVD.
Well, enjoy it, Asia and the Australian markets. At seven,
The Office, the American one, not the British.
The funny one, the funny good American Office. Yeah, I mean, I've said many a time. Me and Ricky Gervais are just incompatible.
Agreed.
Even though the amount of times people go, no, you should, no, the Netflix one's generally, all the other stuff is rubbish, but the Netflix one's, it's like, I'm not watching it, I don't like him. No. I'm not going to enjoy it. I don't like cruel humour.
That's the same, yeah, I'm so I've liked maybe one of his stand-up routines, and I just, it's not for me.
When The Office started, I recall it being fine. I got laughing about it and it being fine. If it had just been allowed to just be that series and not being held aloft, like Fleabag's being at the moment, you know, where everyone has to, like, drop to the knees and go. And I'm not saying they're comparable in comedy at all, just the fact that everyone's constantly going on about them.
Yeah. I really like Fleabag, but I know what you mean. Yes, it's...
I don't dislike Fleabag at all, but you know what I mean? It's the thing at the moment. It's the...
The Guardian compares everything to it, yeah.
Yes. So, the American Office, they showed Series 1 over Christmas... Right. On BBC Two, like in the,
it was just straight up. We've just filmed this script again, basically.
Yeah, there have been Jelly Stapler and all that stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. It's all my. This is not for me. And then cut to a few years later. Cut it. Basically, when Netflix first appeared on Xbox, I went for the trial, and The Office was there, and I'm like, I fancy something, you know, daft. So let's try episode 1, series 2. It's an episode called The Dundies, and I was in pain laughing at it. I was literally, I cried, and I think me and my ex watched 16 episodes in a row.
That's, wow. I'm assuming it's like 22 minutes, yeah? Okay.
The difference was, yeah, it's palpable. I adore The American Office, and even later on it goes off a bit and Steve Carell leaves and... Still funny. And Catherine Tate comes in at the end. And she's in the last series.
Right.
As is Rashida Jones. They're both good. Parks and Rec spins off out of it technically. Which is another one with the first series which doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
Which is like 6 episodes.
I was going to say, it's not made the list, this one, because it's not a complete retool, really. They just sort of...
No, it just gets funnier.
It gets funnier. They sort of knock the edges off the characters and they remove the one that isn't quite working. So, yeah.
8!
Wonder Woman, the 1970s Linda Carter spinning around.
I think that's one of those weird shows that even if you've never seen it, you've got an image of someone spinning around and changing character and that theme tune, you know.
Yeah, I think most recently I've seen that in... Too Many Cooks, where someone spins around for too long and is murdered while they are transforming. There we go. So the original series of Wonder Woman was, it was set during World War II in 1940. And it turns out, Ben, that filming period stuff or future stuff is more expensive than just filming contemporary stuff.
All right.
And this is a reverse Galactica 80, I'm going to call this, where basically they went, could you make this cheaper by making it set now? And they just sort of went, yeah, okay. And they said that Wonder Woman had gone back to her island for 35 years and then come back, and she looked about the same because, of course, she did. Yeah. And then it was just set in 1975 or whatever it was. So, yeah.
Yeah, it is actually one of the few you can do that with, actually, premise-wise, because, you know...
Yeah.
Cool. I don't know.
That was enthusiastic.
Wait. Right, I'm going to spin round. I'm going to be sick now. I'm going to be sick. Go to nine.
Go to 9. Number 9, men behaving badly. This is an odd one because you've effectively got like 2 retools of this. One at the end of the first series where Harry Enfield goes, no, I don't like doing this actually. Can someone else go?
Obviously, it starts with Dermot.
Yes, but he goes away.
And Nelly Idence Morrissey comes in.
A joke off for the one person,
and
good.
And vampire motorcycles.
Yep.
And
and the Invisible Man.
And that second series is weird. There's at least one episode which is just all based around Gary's hideous possible thought that Tony might be a homosexual.
Oh, God.
You know.
What year was this? Like
89?
92.
Oh,
God. Oh, well,
so he picks up the phone and he goes, big boy sauna club as a gag and stuff. It's like, it definitely improves.
Yeah.
And as you said, it doesn't get picked up after series 2. And then BBC took it on, which never happened.
No.
Really.
It's really rare to see stuff bounce between networks here.
And it made a lot more sense after half 9. You know.
Yeah, I was going to say it can't be particularly rude if it's on in a tea time slot or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. After Bill.
But before Boone.
Yeah. Men Behaving Badly, kind of. No, it's not been forgotten, but it's definitely been pushed to the back.
Yeah, I think it's more accepted that that's something that only really fitted in that time and no one's that bothered anymore.
Number 10.
Right. Look, let's be honest with this one. We've put this one in here because you found it. And it's amazing. Second Chance, a TV show from 1987.
Oh, God, I sent you this ages ago. I didn't send you this as part of this chart for anything.
No, you didn't. It
originally,
was just
like, I found this thing. And it's a sitcom about a guy who goes up to St. Peter in like 2025 or something.
Yeah, we're coming
and
up on it now.
Basically, St. Peter makes people stand on the first episode's online, and I watched the first half of it. And it wasn't that bad, actually. It was okay.
Right.
You know, St. Peter's quite sassy, you see. And people come on, so like someone comes and they're a beauty queen who's been murdered by a rival. So she stands on the thing and it says, "You can go to heaven." And then Gaddafi turns up. And, you know, obviously goes to hell. So this guy turns up and they say, "Oh, you've had a life. We're not quite sure if you're good or bad. Tell you what, we'll send you down to when you were 18 and see if you can like guide your past self in 1987 to a better life." And weirdly enough, the 18-year-old is played by Matthew L. Perry.
Who's that, Ben? I've never heard of him.
It's Matthew Perry.
Oh, that L just threw me for a loop.
In a nutshell, I died and got a second chance to come back and keep myself from going wrong.
This guy Mom rented a room to is okay, but he keeps telling me I should do this, I shouldn't do that.
It's a snap. I'm always one step ahead of me. Him.
Wait till he sees what I'm going to do tonight.
Second Chance, next, right after Beans Baxter.
Yeah, it's a second chance, so this guy goes down, and the idea is he kind of is there as the father that wasn't around when he was young, mm-hmm. kind of thing, you know, to try and put him on the straight and narrow.
Yep.
And I think it's maybe after 10 episodes, they go, right, we like this stuff of Matthew Perry and his mates hanging out. Not so bothered about this weird bloke hanging around trying to help him. I know, let's retool it so it's a different series, which is, what is it called? One of the
Boys Will Be Boys.
Boys Will Be Boys. And then, so they just drop the whole, like, spiritual premise and everything, which necessitates getting rid of at least three characters. And then it just becomes Matthew Perry and his mates, who are apparently having a lifestyle which is so bad they have to come back from the future to change, is now Laughs Ahoy.
This is the equivalent of if after like three episodes of Ghosts, they just dropped all the ghosts and it was just about two people renovating a stately home for the remainder of the series. It's really? Why would you...
It would be like, we're enjoying this series, Alf, but could we try it without the puppet alien from Melmac?
Look, we're all a fan of So Haunt Me, but what if there was no ghosts?
That was very helpful for how I'm going to retool this show.
Right.
I'm just going to board it up and think about my bits.
We're just going to put it in a box, set it on fire and leave it on... I don't know, Cheap Show's doorstep.
Yeah, run away!
Second Chance is brought to you by new Chicken Little sandwiches at most Kentucky Fried Chicken restaurants.
Oh, dear. You know, in a lot of ways, I'm quite proud. You know, because... So we did 20 episodes, and I'm not mentioning the best ofs and the Patreon stuff. Yeah. And if you want to get bonus episodes that you will not hear on this regular feed, then Patreon, from $3 a month, you can have like a new show every other week. Yes, basically we've decided that this is going to be a fortnightly show to try and take some of the heavy load off a little bit. Mm,
yeah, the heavy load specifically on poor Ben, who has to edit our ramblings together. All I have to do, listeners, is talk into a microphone. Ben actually does all the proper work.
Sort of. And but we've decided we're going to record an episode, a looser kind of episode, every other week, basically, which will only be on Patreon.
Yes.
If you go to patreon.com/dotletschat, and as I say, from $3 a month, or indeed anything, we really appreciate anything. And just shares and stuff like that, we really appreciate that. But, you know, I'm proud of what we've done. And as a final list for this week, here are 10 things Don't Let's Chart has outlasted. At one.
At one. The Mayfly.
Yeah.
The Mayfly. They don't last long, the Mayflies. No. That's not the best example.
No, but we've outlasted loads of them. Where's their podcast? Yeah. I'm going to look now. It's going to be Great British Podcast said Ian Mayfly and the Mayfly Podcast. Talking to Alan Mayfly, the celebrity Mayfly. Stop saying Mayfly. Number two.
Number two, Theresa May.
Mayfly, Fly. Theresa Mayfly. Yay! Yeah, we've outlasted her.
I mean,
her.
She lasted, you know, 2.5 years, but let's not.
I know, but I'm saying that in the time period that we've
been doing this. It's that you'd put Fly in brackets after a name. That was
It's funny. Number three.
Thank God for this one. The Jeremy Kyle Show. Awful.
Yeah, until they bring it back in a slightly different format. We have learnt our lesson. But
We did not need a televised version of going to view the inmates at Bedlam. We did not need that. Homes Under the Hammer is enough for me.
You know what? When there's a programme which is like, I want a massive penny falls. And, why would you need?
We've demonstrated that people will watch a giant penny machine. So
it's quite good. I quite like it.
I don't mind it, but they've not done much to the format, really, have they? Other than anyway, let's just keep
number
going.
Number four.
Joe Longthorne. Oh, it's a bit sad.
R.I.P. R.I.P. Yeah, he's good. He was all right, Joe Longthorne. He was never going to be for us, but he was a solid entertainer.
Solid mid tier. Yeah.
Just like the editor at number five.
Well, okay, so number five is Nicolas Cage's fourth marriage.
Did he have annulled after 4 days?
I did not know exactly how long it lasted.
Yeah, he had it annulled after 4 days. It's like, what are you doing? You owe enough money out. I said, this is why you make so many bad films.
I mean, you know why he's got no money? It's because he keeps buying castles.
Really?
Yes, and then goes, oh, it turns out I don't have anybody and has to sell them again.
But is he good or bad?
Yeah, we can't get into this now. We don't have time.
Yeah, BC. Always be caging.
Indeed.
At six.
Bury FC.
Yeah.
I don't know about football.
Well, basically, it was one of the founders of the Football League and it went bankrupt this year. And Sky decided to do a countdown clock to it going bankrupt because... morally bankrupt.
Yeah. If only Sky had some money that could be used towards that sort of thing where they could have prevented it.
I can't imagine such a thing. At seven!
Seven. Thank God for this one. R. Kelly's career.
Don't know your Kelly. She all right? Yeah, I don't know why this hasn't happened years ago. I remember before Ignition came out, there was a thing saying R. Kelly could not leave the house because he was taped having sex with an underage girl. And who taped it? Him!
Right, but that's 2002, Ben. In 1994, he married a 15-year-old. Why?
Wait, what?
Yeah, he married Aaliyah in 1994. Did you not know
this? Was he 15?
Yes.
Dear God, I didn't know that.
He falsified the documents to say that she was 18.
Oh, good God.
And then it got annulled, you know, six months later. So yeah, as early as 1994, we should not have been tolerating R. Kelly. Never mind 2002.
Yeah. Don't Let's Chart, better than R. Kelly.
Objectively better, yes. Morally superior.
Eight.
At eight, Swamp Thing, the DC original series.
Not by the grid.
No.
TV series.
It was. And yeah, it's a bit of a weird one, this. So it did quite well. It was well received, but they made this show on the basis of getting a certain amount of tax credits to fund it. And it turned out they'd misunderstood how much tax credits they were going to get. So yeah, they had big budget shortfalls and yeah.
So they thought they were getting so much back and then they said, no. No.
Well, basically,
cancelled.
The state of North Carolina went, you know, we did this much actually. It was like, oh, but we've already spent. Oh. so you know, it's possible it will come back again, but we'll see.
It was cancelled after one episode, though, wasn't it? Which is
basically, yeah.
But we streaming, so it doesn't really. At nine.
Number nine, John McCririck. Good. Another one that I am pleased to see the back of. The horrible old shit.
I'm sorry if you're listening, Mrs. McCririck, but even you must have realised what a horrible old shit he was.
I hope he didn't suffer too much, but I'm glad he's not around anymore. Let's go with that. Yeah, that's the nicest I'm going to get.
Okay, and ten!
We mentioned it way back in the first episode.
We did. As one of the things which is worrying us in the world the most.
What Warren. The sitcom Warren.
Yeah.
I haven't watched any of it, so I don't really have an opinion on it.
It's rubbish. Martin Clunes plays an unpleasant man.
Right.
And then everyone tries to be reasonable with him. And then he's furtherly unpleasant. And everyone went... I know. No. Bad.
Right.
Bad, Martin Clunes. On your rug. You've learnt nothing since 90s. dear. So it's good to be back, isn't it, Phil?
Yeah, it is.
I've missed you, Mitch.
Next time on Nights, Baywatch Nights.
Stop it.
Shall I go?